Coming up in just a few minutes, Tim McNiff, news with the side of sports. But right now we have with us, sitting in, the state representative for District 20B, Todd Lippert. Todd, thank you so much for coming in today.
Glad to be here.
Boy, we're mid-February now, so pretty soon, you know, we'll have the economic forecast before too terribly long, and things will start picking up. But last couple of weeks, we have had some severe weather, and it's happened for much of the state. Are things still pretty active at the Capitol during this time, where I would imagine there's probably some people missing from meetings and such just due to the weather?
There have been a few people missing here and there, but the House has been very active both last week through the cold and this week. And last week, for instance, we had 30 below, but in one hearing in the Labor Committee on paid family leave, the room was packed at capacity with 120 people there. So the people's work is still being done at the House, and I have work to do, so I've been showing up for my committees, and good work's getting done.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, so many of the legislation that you put through, or at least you listen to, you got one shot to make your case. You better not let 30 below stop you.
Right, yeah. We're a quarter of the way through the session now, and we have a bill deadline in front of us. So by March 15th, all of the bills have to get through a policy committee, or they don't make it to the floor. So we are all figuring out the paths for our bills and the work that we need to get done to meet that deadline. So we're hard at work.
And speaking of that, we talked to you last week. You had the first bill that you had a hearing for, and you were kind of excited about that. It involved a drug repository, if I'm
That's
not mistaken. Tell us how that went and where that bill's at right now.
Sure. So I have a bill. I'm authoring a bill to start a drug repository program in the state of Minnesota. 21 other states have a program like this. Currently, there's a lot of medication in long-term care centers that goes to waste because of federal packaging regulations. If a patient dies or their medication changes, if even a monthly blister pack or a single-use dose of medication isn't used or is left over, it often has to be thrown away, even if it's perfectly good. So we'll start a central location where those drugs can be sent and people who are uninsured can have access to them. I presented this bill before the Health and Human Services Policy Committee. It's my job as a freshman presenting a first bill to bring treats. So my daughter Claire and I made some chocolate chip cookies with a little extra love, and we I handed those out. They were well received. But I was eager to share this program with the committee, and I had the chair of the Board of Pharmacy with me, as well as a pharmacy student who's been driving this bill, and all of the committee's questions were answered. It passed unanimously, and now it's in the Ways and Means Committee and will soon be referred to Health and Human Service Finance for more conversation.
You know, it's one of those bills that, certainly on the surface anyway, it seems logical. Like, why haven't we been doing this? It sounds like just a perfectly logical thing. Are there any reasons or any obstacles? Has just nobody thought of this yet, or are there some other obstacles involved?
This simply hasn't been adopted in Minnesota yet. Mm-hmm. So there are many states that do this, and it went through, it was going through last session too and got shut down. So it's time to take another run at this. There's bipartisan agreement that this is a good idea. So it's just time to move it forward.
Mm-hmm. Here in Northfield, in so many communities now, we have the Take It to the Box program, where you can take your medication to the box and have it destroyed, which is at the police station. Would this work in parallel with that? Does that really have anything to do with each other? I mean, could people look and say, hey, I've got five pills left, the expiration date is 2020. Should I take it to one box or the other? Is that
So it would work. It would work in parallel.
Okay.
It would allow some individual donations. There would be certain medications that would work for the drug repository; others wouldn't, and so there would still be some that would be most appropriate mm-hmm. for take it to the box.
All right. Once again, Todd Lippert, mm-hmm. the state representative for District 20B, is joining us right now. You mentioned before we went on the air, there is some other legislation that's being introduced about some prescription drugs.
Right. So on the day that I was presenting my bill, there were some other bills before the Health and Human Services Policy Committee too. One to eliminate the gag rule that pharmacists are under now. So there are certain circumstances currently where pharmacists can't tell you if there's another drug that's less expensive or if the drug you're purchasing is less than the copay. Mm-hmm. If they do, they will lose their arrangement with their wholesale provider. So we want to ban that practice. There was another bill put forward by my colleague, Representative John Lesch, to address price gouging by pharmaceutical companies. Insulin is the most common example of this, where the prices are so exorbitantly high and it doesn't seem like there's any reason for it, and that pharmaceutical companies need to be held accountable for that. My colleague, Representative Liz Olson, is leading a bill on responding to the opioid crisis, mm-hmm. and essentially holding the pharmaceutical industry accountable for dealing with that mess too. So the DFLers in the House have a variety of bills that are working to expand access for pharmaceuticals and hold the pharmaceutical companies accountable for extremely high prices.
You know, that all that sounds very good, but you're running up against a very powerful lobby. How much, and it's a national lobby as well,
right.
Can Minnesota pass some laws? Can you, do you think in the future that we can get our insulin for X amount while, you know, across the state it's a whole lot higher the next state over? How are the laws with that, and can that be implemented on a state level as opposed to a federal level?
There's plenty that we can do at a state level. And you're okay. Right, we are walking into the heart of the beast as far as this is concerned. The pharmaceutical lobby is very, very powerful. But we heard throughout the campaign that people across the state are furious about the prices of prescription drugs and want legislators to take action. Mm-hmm. So it's time for us to pass these measures. There's broad support, and it's time to get it done.
All right. Once again, Todd Lippert with us. Wages. You had talked about wages last time or the time before that you were in about some bills or legislation involving that. What is the latest?
So a big hearing in the Labor Committee this week, and I sit on the Labor Committee, was about addressing wage theft in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So, and this is another high priority of the House DFL. Currently in the state of Minnesota, there are 39,000 workers that experience wage theft each year, and they lose.
What is wage theft?
So it's instances that are sometimes small, often systematic by a few employers who are bad actors who maybe they aren't paying overtime that's owed an employee on a systematic basis, or we heard from line cooks in the restaurant industry, they're expected to be there for an eight-hour shift, but also expected to be there for an hour before work and an hour after work to set up and clean up, but they're not compensated for that. So there are a variety of instances in a lot of industries where employers aren't paying full wages that workers earn. And there are fines for this, but the fines are often so little that employers know, I can just pay the fine and keep doing this and get away with it. People who are the poorest or have language barriers are often the most targeted victims for this. So this bill will increase enforcement of that. Currently, those 39,000 people who are victims of wage theft lose $12.5 million in wages a year. And this is a big deal for people who rely on every dollar in their paycheck to pay their rent, put food on the table. So we want to make sure that workers get every penny that they earn.
Yeah, that is huge when you're, you know, at that level of you just making paycheck to paycheck, you know, an extra $100 on a paycheck is a big amount.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and that, you think in this day and age, things like that can't happen. You know, I recall back an instance that happened to me personally back in the early 1980s. It was 35, 40 years ago. You think, boy, in this day and age, nobody's like that anymore. But yeah, there are still people that take advantage of people in a vulnerable spot.
There are. And we heard powerful testimony from a variety of people who had experienced this. And then other testimony from people on the labor committee who said, yeah, I experienced this from my employer 20, 30 years ago, too. Mm-hmm. So we need to be making sure that we are stepping up that enforcement. And every dollar matters for workers in Minnesota.
Let's go back for a second, because I forgot to ask you something I wanted to ask you about when you were talking about introducing that first bill. And you go in front of the House, or at least the committee. For a living, you are a minister, so public speaking is not something new at all to you. Did you draw on some of your experiences from, you know, your regular day-to-day job when you were presenting that?
Absolutely. Yes, I knew this was a moment where I would need to be communicating the bill, and there would be it was my moment to make sure that that was done well. So I took some time to prepare, make sure I was ready, and get my thoughts in order. And then the presentation went fine. So I've learned over the years of being a pastor that when you need to stand up in front of people and say what you need to say, you better be ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. No sermons on the fly.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Representative Lippert, anything else going on last week or coming up this week that are this
This week, I'm authoring a bill on a farm-to-school program, putting more resources towards that. That's important to local farmers and farmers across the state, trying to get more local foods into our schools. And we'll be having a press conference to introduce that effort on Wednesday. So some farmers will be coming up to the Capitol, and we'll have some people representing schools and some youth talking about how important local foods is. And I'm looking forward to that effort kicking off this week as well.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. Enjoy your day today. Hopefully you get some time off for the weekend and maybe dig yourself out. I don't know if you've done that.
I've been trying, but there's still more work to be done.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. State Representative Todd Lippert from District 20B.